All right, Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, verse 11 to 14. Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest." And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now, we're not going to study 15 and 16, but let's look at it because we'll make reference to it. Now, at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Now, we're going to make reference to that. Now, the companion passages for this are Mark 15 and Luke 23 and John 18. And we're going to study some of these things. We're going to turn to them because they'll help us to understand everything that transpired here. Matthew just gives you a glimpse. And the only thing that he really stresses in the conversation that took place before Pilate was that Jesus didn't say anything in his defense. That's what he stresses. Now, what happened, first of all, when you see Jesus accused before Pilate is this. The Jews had concluded their trial before Caiaphas. They'd been doing that all night. You know, they arrested him at nighttime in Gethsemane. Then they took him to Annas and to Caiaphas, who was the high priest. They tried him before Caiaphas, and they kept trying to get two witnesses, according to their law, to agree to something that would require capital punishment. And they couldn't get two witnesses to agree. Finally, they asked Jesus Christ if he were the Son of God or if he were the Christ. And he testified that he was the Son of God and that they would see the Son of God sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. That's when the high priest jumped up, rent his clothes, and said, "He's guilty of blasphemy. You've heard him. We don't need any more witnesses." What they did after that is they bound him and they hauled him off to Pilate. Pilate is the Roman governor that has jurisdiction in Jerusalem at this time. And the only thing they had is that he was worthy of death for blasphemy. So, truthfully, the Jews, if he were really guilty of this, could have killed him for that. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 24. Leviticus chapter 24. If, in fact, he were really guilty of it, Leviticus chapter 24 shows us that they could have killed him for this crime. Leviticus chapter 24, and look at verse 11. All right, in Leviticus chapter 24, verse 11, the Bible says, "And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses, and his mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan. And they put him in ward." You know, the head of a prisoner is called a warden. So they put him in ward, prison, "that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Bring forth him that hath cursed without the camp. And here's the Lord's ruling. And let all that heard him lay their hands on his head, and let all the congregation do what? Stone him. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, Whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him. As well the stranger as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death." So they had a capital crime. Now, if the Jews had carried out the punishment, they would have stoned him. But there were a couple of problems. One of the problems is that as far as those Jews were concerned, they were afraid to kill him. They were afraid to kill him because of the people. Come back with me to Matthew and look at Matthew chapter 21. And notice in Matthew chapter 21 that although they wanted to kill him long before they ever did, they didn't do it because they were afraid of the reaction of the people. Matthew chapter 21, verse 46. "When they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet." So see, that dampened their spirits because they were afraid of how the people would react. Look again in Matthew chapter 26 at verses 4 to 5. Matthew chapter 26, verses 4 to 5. All right, in Matthew chapter 26, verses 4 and 5, "And consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him." Now, who was this? In verse 3, it was the chief priests, the scribes, the elders of the people before the high priest Caiaphas. And they consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. So they were real concerned about how the people would take it. Don't think that today's politicians are any different than Pilate and the Jews, the political Jews of those days. What do they do now to gauge the people? They take polls. And if the polls seem to favor a particular action, the politicians seem to go that way or try to get enough media support out there before they try to make that move. They're worried about what people think. So they were afraid to do that, and most people wouldn't have believed that Jesus Christ was a blasphemer anyway. Many of the people to whom Jesus Christ ministered really believed that he was the Son of God. Remember in John chapter 9, the fellow that was blind got healed, and the Pharisees jumped him out because he was attributing his healing to Jesus Christ, and he was born blind. He was born blind, and he said, look, there's never been anybody born blind that's been healed of his blindness. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And there were a lot of people that believed that. So they led him to Pilate to be killed instead. And when they did, that caused the fulfillment of the prophecy concerning the way that Jesus Christ was going to die. He was crucified, right? Well, if the Jews had executed him under their law, they would have stoned him. They would have stoned him. But the prophecy was that he would be crucified. Look in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20 and look at verse 19. Now this is right in the middle of Jesus Christ telling his disciples how he's going to die. He says in verse 18, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. All that was true. And they shall deliver him to the Gentiles. That's what they're doing when they send him to Pilate. To mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. Well, if the Jews had executed him, they would have stoned him. So by taking him to Pilate, they're actually fulfilling prophecy. Matthew chapter 26, verse 2. Matthew chapter 26, verse 2. Jesus Christ says it again. Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Crucified. Now, during Pilate's first examination of Jesus Christ, Jesus simply refused to answer any of the accusations against him and refused to answer the governor regarding any of the accusations that were leveled. He was quiet. Why? Well, keep your finger in Matthew chapter 27 and go to Isaiah 53, and you'll see why. Isaiah 53, you know this is the chapter that's commonly called the what? The chapter of the what? The suffering servant. The suffering servant. It's all about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and some other things regarding that. And he says here in verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet, what? He opened not his mouth. So when he refuses to answer, he is fulfilling prophecy by not responding to any of the accusations. And he didn't have to anyway. Why? He wasn't guilty of them. There was nothing to say. Why respond? You know, haven't you noticed when people vehemently defend themselves against an accusation, it generally, you find out later that they were guilty. I remember years ago we had a national pastor in a foreign country who thought he had been wronged by a pastor in the United States, and both of these pastors had newsletters, and both of them were going to war with each other in the newsletter, and it had to stop. So I just called the guy that was the national pastor, I happen to know him, that was in the foreign country, and I said, you know, we have a practice in this country that if a person vehemently defends himself, he's testifying to his own guilt. If you'll hush, people will leave it alone. And he quit, and it all went away. So Jesus had no reason to respond.